So my name is Dr. Wendy Burgers. I work at the University of Cape Town, and I'm a senior lecturer here, which means I teach students all about viruses and the immune response to viruses. My research focus is on HIV and TB co-infection. So we're trying to understand why HIV-infected people are very susceptible to getting tuberculosis. And through that, we hope to understand more about what's important for the immune response to TB, which is missing in people who are HIV infected. So our body has a number of major defenses against viruses, those involve all arms of the immune response. So for example, within the cell, since viruses infect cells intracellularly, there are a whole lot of molecules called restriction factors, for example, APABEC3 or tetherin, which particularly target viruses, for example, to introduce mutations in their genomes to render them non-functional or to prevent viral capsids from getting out of the cell. There are also things like pattern recognition receptors, for example, toll-like receptors, which have evolved to recognize structures that are not our own, for example, lipids on bacteria, but things on viruses like double-stranded or single-stranded RNA, which we don't have in our cells naturally. And these switch on intracellular defenses, like the restriction factors I mentioned, or things like interferons, type 1 interferons, which then mobilize other arms of the immune system. And these include T cells, so CD8 cytotoxic T cells, which can then infect, which can then kill virus-infected cells. But of course, viruses like HIV have evolved a lot of mechanisms to evade our immune system. For example, there are things like HIV has a very tiny protein called NEF. Which down-regulates MHC molecules so that viral proteins or peptides are not presented on the outside of the cell. And this is a key mechanism of recognition for T cells. And through that mechanism, infected T cells are not optimally recognized by the immune system, and therefore HIV can evade our defenses. And there are numerous other examples. In fact, HIV is a great virus to study to see how it's evolved to evade the immune system, and it can evolve very rapidly because it has such a high replication rate. It's a huge challenge to make an effective HIV vaccine. We've been studying the virus for 25 years, and we still don't have an effective HIV vaccine. Most effective vaccines against viruses and bacteria work on the principle of generating neutralizing antibodies in our immune system. And we'll probably need to do exactly the same with HIV. Why that's proved to be so difficult is because neutralizing antibodies are only made very rarely in HIV-infected people. And when they are made, in fact, they don't provide any benefit to the HIV-infected person because the virus escapes so rapidly from the neutralizing antibodies. And one of the things we've discovered is that HIV has evolved to hide its neutralizing sites. So neutralizing antibodies act by preventing the virus from infecting a cell. And we've only identified 5 sites on the HIV envelope which can be targeted by neutralizing antibodies to prevent that interaction of the virus getting into the cell. And these sites are hidden within the virus or covered with sugars on the outside of the viral capsid to prevent the antibodies from accessing the viral capsid and thereby preventing infection. We've also discovered other things in that the antibodies that mediate this neutralization in people are quite unusual antibodies in that they have some regions that are much longer than normal antibodies in order to access sort of deeply recessed sites within the viral capsid. So it may prove quite difficult to generate these with a vaccine, although huge efforts are going on to develop sort of mimics of the HIV capsid that can generate these antibodies, or coming up with very novel vaccination strategies giving different variants of a vaccine HIV envelope in order to steer the immune system to generate these antibodies. So there are huge efforts going on, and I'm hopeful.